You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
That program, I got Jesus in my life, but you know what? I've gone to 12-step groups. I've got lots of friends there, and it's such a great foundational, because it's really a great discipleship program. When you think of step one, my life was unmanageable, came to believe a power greater than me could restore me to sanity, turn my life over to the care and control. So I thought, listen, it's all good. Whether you do the one-step program or you do that 12-step accountability.
I thought it said my wife was unmanageable.
They can be, you know. No,
but you know, that happened to me. I never alcoholism runs in my family lineage. But I thought it had passed me over. And then at the age of 50, my mother dies. My the gal I was with after 17 years runs off, and I'm left totally alone. And so I got into Glenlivet Scotch, and I couldn't stop. All of a sudden, it was every night. Yeah. Then it was in the middle of the night. Then it was in the morning. So hair of the dog that bit you. And then all of a sudden, one night, I remember they call it a moment of clarity.
Yeah.
I just was in my living room. I mean, my kitchen, and I said, Lord, I can't do this on my own.
That's right.
Big ego man here.
Yeah.
Finally going, duh,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Okay, hey, by the way, I can't make it on my own. So within days, I ended up in a 12-step program. And I like it. For me, it's right.
Oh, it's so great.
I'm learning so many things.
I went to a joy.
13 years ago.
Praise God. I went to a joy and recovery workshop that Dunklin did.
Dunklin.
And there was Dr. Jean LaCour, who... Jean set up a
LaCour.
She's French.
It could be LaCour.
But anyways, Jean had this guy come in from North Carolina, and he did this thing on the brain and recovery.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, you got a joy tank and you've got a pain tank. And if your joy tank is higher than your pain tank, whenever a crisis comes, you can reel yourself in. You can make whatever adjustments you do. But if your pain tank is higher than your joy tank, the distance from your pain tank to your joy tank is what we call trauma. Mm. And you can never reel yourself in. All you can do is hang in there and maintain. And that's why people get high. That's why they get involved in compulsive behaviors, addictions.
So how do you fill that joy tank?
Well, that's what we all said. So, okay. So if the joy tank is lower than the pain tank, how do we do it? And so she said, so somebody comes up and says, Rhett, I know you got issues. But guess what? I'm not mad at you because you got issues. We love you, and we're not going anywhere, brother. We're with you every step of the way. And she says, when you find people that want to be with you with all your mess, and they're not angry with you, and they're not going to abandon you until you get your stuff together, just that joy tank starts rising above that pain tank. And when that happens, and I said, well, that's what 12-step is. That's what recovery – that's what church can be, you know, a great men's group.
I have to say this, though, on behalf of the 12-step program, yes, I still go to church, but I think it's everything churches should be, and I'll tell you why. It's because God loves a broken and contrite heart.
You bet.
You know, a broken and contrite heart, he will not resist. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering candle he will not snuff out.
Right.
And somebody might be listening, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that, let's say I'm an egotistical jerk, or I've done this sin and that song, blah, 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 and all of a sudden then I fall, oh God, look what I did. He could go, oh yeah, don't talk to me now, look what you did instead, you know.
He reaches out.
And says, okay, and accepts you. And so a broken and contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. And so that's what's amazing, that to have that. And I see that in the rooms of these 12-step programs. I go to one down in Port St. Lucie. I should bring you some time. I maybe have. It's called the Motorcycle Group.
Okay.
I tell you, these are a bunch of young guys. You know, like this, you know.
Yeah.
And I was nasty, and I hated people, and I beat up people, and I drank, and I smoked, and I did these drugs. And they get to the bottom.
Yeah.
They fall, and they come back up. And one word, I remember one night I was there, it was like, they all mentioned the word broken.
Yeah.
Brokenness.
Yep.
Brokenness.
Well, Sidney Girard was a professor at University of Florida. He wrote a book called The Transparent Self. And he said, openness and honesty create health. And oftentimes, like you said, in a lot of churches, people, there's no venue for people to be open and honest. I mean, it does say confess your faults one to another and pray. And so sometimes that could happen in a men's group. It could happen in some kind of accountability or whatever groups they set up. But then Carl Jung, a student of Sigmund Freud, said everyone needs someone to share your shadow with. And I remember—
Share your shadow.
And I remember years ago, I was listening to a radio show where Manerth Meyer, they had a psych clinic, and you could call in. And it was basically kind of like they were two psychiatrists that wrote that book, Happiness is a Choice. Great book on depression. And so this guy called in. And he said, buddy, he said, I'm married to this drop-dead gorgeous movie star. And we've been married. She's been married before, but I love her, and there ain't nothing I'm going to do for her. But, Doc, she's leaving me. What did I do wrong? He said, let me ask you a question, buddy. He said, knowing your wife, did she ever have any trauma as a child? You know, you said she's drop-dead gorgeous movie star. Did she ever share with you, did anybody ever do anything wrong with her sexually when she was a child? He says, you know what, buddy? I'm not mentioning who she is, and I'm not saying who I am, but yeah, that happened, buddy. He said, well, here's why she's packing up and leaving. Because he said, every time she gets to a certain point in a relationship, she can't go any farther unless she's honest. And she's got to tell her story of what happened. That's what happens in those 12-step groups. People tell their story, and there's something very powerful about telling your story.
That's why Bill Wilson and that doctor got together, two alcoholics. There was no AA.
Yeah.
And one said, hey, why don't we meet and talk? And then they kept each other sober. And out of that, millions of lives have been saved.
Well, he told her, he said, now listen.
Yeah.
Call me when the show's done. I'll stay on the line.
Yeah.
And he said, well, Doc, how long you got to tell that story? He says, you'd be surprised. Once you tell it once, you may not have to tell it too many times after that. But you got to at least tell it one time so people know. And you know what happened? My wife had been molested as a child, you know, by an uncle and a cousin. And we were in a church. I was Ron McCaskill. He had New Life Christian Center in the late 90s. And the another pastor's wife, she had been severely abused sexually by her grandparent, her grandfather, and an uncle. I mean, it was almost like Joyce Meyer's, you know, sexually being abused. So Deborah talked to Marianne and said, Marianne, I found this book, and it's helping people that have been victims of early childhood sexual abuse or child abuse. So they got a group together with the pastor's permission of about, they said, well, I don't know if anybody's going to come to it in the church. Every single lady that was in leadership in that church, Rhett, was in that group. So they had a banquet at the end.
Yeah.
And they invited, you know, I went. I mean, it was primarily just a woman's only group. But they told the pastor's wife, we'd love to have you come.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave can come too because he's our counselor. He's the counselor here, and he's probably talked to some of these girls. And each one of them got up in a very short way, talked about what happened to them. What a dry eye in a place, including the pastor's wife. She said, I'll tell you what, I have never, ever been in an atmosphere as powerfully charged as this group. And you know what? Those girls are all fine today, Rep, because what this guy said is at some point when you tell your story and you invite God into that journey, he takes that X, because this girl was drop-dead gorgeous and she'd been abused a lot. I just feel like I'm marked. I'm hexed. He said, well, God's going to take that X and he's going to flip it and it's going to become a cross. And when that happens, you're free. And that's what happened in that group. But they had to tell their story. And there's a lot of people at Rock Road. They've had a lot of most of the girls that are addicted have all been abused, and there's been a lot of trauma. These guys are not looking just to get a get-out-of-jail-free card, but they don't know what normal is. They've grown up in families that are nothing like the family you and I grew up in, and they are so open to guys coming in and just being with them and letting them tell their story, bringing God as part of the solution to the problems they've tried to turn to the world for. Now they're turning to God, and the rest is, you know,
it's funny that
it's not magic, but things happen.
People, I was singing at a church locally, huge church, and I don't know why it flew out of my mouth, but I told them about my it was a 1 year or 1 year and a half addiction, but it was an addiction nonetheless to Glenn Levitt Scotch, But the whole crowd went nuts when I admitted that I'd done this, and I had, you know, 10 years at the time, whatever it was. Now I've had 13. And people generally, we fear people, but people generally are forgiving. Now, there are those that'll, you got to watch out. The great thing about the rooms of 12-step programs is that everybody in there has learned are no better than me, and I am no better than them. I'm on a new kick right now. God's teaching me about dignity. Mm-hmm. That if I'm in a room, for instance, who's the Bernie? Bernie Sanders was running for the presidency, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm right up there in Vermont with him, and he, you know, not we haven't met, but I'm there, you know, face to face person. We're at the end of a parade of July 4th, and some young man comes running over to him to shake his hand, and he does. But he'll reach out your hand. I'm going to show you what he did. Reach out your hand. You be the young man. I'll be Bernie Taupin.
Yeah. Ah.
He's looking all around, but not looking at the young man.
Wow.
And, you know, I've learned one thing. If I'm out at the I've been in this area now 28 years on the air. Somebody stops me and says, Mr. Palmer, I listen to your show. They have my attention. And that's it. Eye to eye. They're the only one in the room. And, you know, it may only be 4 or 5 minutes, but I'm going to stay there. And I'm very thankful and appreciative. Well, I've learned this, and I'm not going to judge Bernie. I'm just going to say this. What I learned from that is God said, if you can't care about one, you cannot care about 1 million. When people come into you got jailbirds or whatever you call them there, and they come into your office. You're the chaplain at the St. Lucie County jail. So I get a feeling that's the kind of guy you are. I think if I was an inmate and I come to see you at that moment, I count.
I try to see you, Rhett, the way God does, as loved, accepted, and forgiven. And years ago, I worked drug rehab for 10 years, and there was a guy that looked at all the successful programs in Texas that were working. It was Dr. Frank Lawler. And he was such a neat guy, and he says, you know what, guys, I want to tell you something. He said, when I look at what works in relationships to help people get better, he said, there's two things that have to happen right away. The first thing is mutual respect and the other's hope. And if you don't communicate
mutual respect
to the person that's hurting and hope, there's no engagement.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Ooh, 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 ooh.